Praise the Lord, and that is what we are about to do. We are going to feast on God's Word. Praise the Lord. And there is so much in here. Praise God. Well, as I said before, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And of course, it's nice to remember all the fathers and their hard work towards their children, but it's also nice to remember our Heavenly Father as well. And the one who has done so much for us, praise God. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because just out of curiosity, I decided to do some checking. And, you know, in the Bible, in the King James Bible, Father is a word that is very, very commonly used. You see it many, many, many times in Scriptures. In fact, in the King James Bible, the word Father occurs 1,511 times. And 1,130 of those times are in the Old Testament, while 381 of them are in the New Testament. But what's interesting is the fact that in the Old Testament, though the word Father is used many, 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 many times, over 1,100 times, then that the vast majority of those times it is not used regarding God the Father. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's only about a dozen scriptures that acknowledge God as the Father. I thought that was very interesting. And then Jesus came and He proclaimed God the Father. And you see many, many, many verses about God the Father. And I think that's wonderful because we do need to acknowledge Him. And, you know, there are a few verses in the Old Testament that do tell us that God is our Father. For example, Isaiah 64 verse 8 tells us, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou art potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand." Of course, that's a common verse. A lot of you have probably heard that one before. And actually, the first reference to God being anyone's Father was in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 13 through 16, when God made a very special promise to King David regarding his son Solomon. And those verses tell us, "He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." And of course, we know that that same line, David and Solomon, right down all the way, eventually you had Jesus, and he was also an ancestor, or I guess you could say David was an ancestor of his, and but only in bodily form. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ was actually David's Lord, because Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. But it's a wonderful thing to acknowledge God as our Father. That's something that the carnally minded Jewish people didn't do very often in the Old Testament, and it's something that we should do every day. In fact, the Scriptures tell us that when we pray, we should pray to our Father in heaven. And of course, we do that in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So, today's a good day to remember our Father. Now, I am going to be opening our Bibles to Psalm chapter 68 to begin with this morning. Psalm 68. And I'm putting a title on this message today. We're calling this God's Benefit Package. God's Benefit Package. And I will tell you something right now. If God is your Father, and by the way, that's not true of everyone. You may have heard it said, by some folks that we are all God's children, meaning everyone in the world. In fact, the Pope has said that. Pope Francis said that very thing. Not true. Some people are children of the devil. But if you are a child of God, if He is your Father, then you have some amazing benefits. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to be looking at Psalm 68 in just a moment, but before I read even one verse, we do need to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer, thanking Thee for the Scripture that Thou hast given us. We pray, Lord, that as we look upon Thy blessed Word, we pray that we'd be inspired. We pray, O God, that we would be drawn to Thee. We pray that Thy Spirit would work in our hearts, Lord. We pray, O God, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon us. Give us Thy Spirit of discernment, Thy Spirit of understanding. Help us to understand and comprehend Thy Word, Lord, for we know that it is only by Thy grace that we can comprehend anything. We pray, Lord, that we would reach out to Thee, draw nigh to Thee, desire to be like Thee, Lord. We pray, O God, that we would embrace Thy promises here today. That we pray, Lord, that Thou would inspire us by Thy Word, O God. That Thou would reveal Thy power to us, that Thou would reveal to us Thy perfect will, and help us, O God, to embrace these benefits that Thou hast available to us. Lord, we pray that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness, any hindering power that would come against us. For we know, Lord, that Thou art sovereign. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 68. And this is a psalm or song of David. In this psalm, we are going to hear about some of God's benefits to His people. And then we're going to be going elsewhere in Scripture to learn about more of His benefits for us, because there are a lot of them. God's children have a lot of benefits, and I don't want to use the word entitled. It's not that we're entitled to them, it's just that the Lord loves us so much that He gives those benefits to us. Now, Psalm 68, verse 1 tells us, "Let God arise, let His enemies be scattered, let them also that hate Him flee before Him." And I tell you what, those who hate the Lord are not going to want to be in His presence. Of course, for us, if we belong to the Lord, if we are His children, we love to be in His presence. It should be our favorite thing to be in the presence of the Lord. It feels good, doesn't it? And it's a wonderful thing to know that He is right here with us today, just as He has promised. Verse 2, "As smoke is driven away, so drive them away, as wax melteth before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God." And I tell you what, the evildoers will not stand in the presence of God. And sometimes, you know, the evil spirits, the devils, they might try to come in and bother God's people. They might try to torment you even. But I tell you what, you can scare off those devils. You just tell them who your Father is. Remind those devils of that. And sometimes, just start singing, praising the Lord. They're not going to want to be near that. They're not going to want to hear that. And they will flee. What does the Scriptures tell us? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise God. Because they do not want to be in the presence of the Lord. And if God is in you, if He has given you His Spirit, then the presence of God is with you. Verse 3 tells us, "But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him." And we did some of that earlier today. It's wonderful to sing and worship the Lord. Praise God. You know, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And that's one of the ways you can really feel the presence of the Lord, when you worship Him, when you sing to Him, when you give Him your heart. And there is great joy in that. Verse 5 tells us, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And again, we see another one of those rare verses in the Old Testament where it speaks of God as a father. And here it tells us that he is a father to the fatherless. Oh, God cares so much for the fatherless and the widows. In fact, it's mentioned so many times in the Bible, the fatherless and the widows. He cares for those who are vulnerable. He cares for children. He loves children. And he loves children even when they're in the womb. Oh, those babies in the womb are not just a fetus to God. They are one of his creations. And it is an abomination to destroy his creations in the womb. Now verse 6 tells us, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You know, people who rebel against God are never going to be satisfied in life because they are out there in a dry land. A land where there is a famine. A land where they are thirsty and can never be quenched because they do not know the Lord. And the Lord is the only one who can fill that void in our lives. But those who continuously rebel against the Lord, they are dwelling in a dry land. They are thirsty. They are hungry. They are never going to be satisfied unless they turn their hearts to the Lord and repent of their sins and seek Him with a whole heart. You know, you can look around at people today. You can listen to them talk. And you will notice something about people. And this is especially true of the millennial generation and Generation Z, which is that younger generation, which is now just reaching adulthood. They're not satisfied in life at all. And you can tell that there's a void in their lives. And this country is becoming more and more secular by the year. And you look at all of these people they got running for president, and you got Bernie Sanders, who was notable in the last presidential election not only for being a socialist, but also that he is non-religious, he said. And I believe he's an agnostic. So that usually goes hand in hand with socialism, by the way. The more socialist a country becomes, and the more communist a country becomes, the more secular the country becomes, and the less people seek the Lord, the less people rely on God, because the government actually becomes the God of the people. The government, Big Brother, providing for all of the people's needs, and people forget God. But God is really the only one who can satisfy the longing of our souls. And He has a fountain of living waters for us if we but seek Him. Sadly, that's something the rebellious will never experience. Verse 7. O God, when Thou wentest forth before Thy people, when Thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. You know, this entire creation reacts to God's presence. Not just people. Not just angels. Not just devils. Did you know that devils react to His presence too? Devils reacted to the presence of the Lord Jesus because they knew who Jesus was and who Jesus is. They were terrified of Him, and that's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing every time a devil is terrified. But yes, the creation reacts to the presence of the Lord. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance when it was weary. What does it mean by His inheritance? What is that referring to? It's referring to God's people. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of Thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace. That means quickly. Apace means quickly. And yes, even kings of armies would flee at the presence of the Lord. You can read about that in some of those Old Testament stories, how kings ran away in desperation, trying to get away from God, and they could not. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. And that verse right there should thrill us to the core. That should thrill our souls, because this verse, verse 17, tells us that there are thousands of angels. It doesn't say how many thousands, but it says that there are thousands of angels. And that is wonderful. It's wonderful to know that God has an army. An army of angels, and those ministering angels, they watch over God's people too. The scriptures teach that very thing. And we've all probably experienced things in our lives where there's no explanation for it, but an angel must have been looking out for us. God does send His angels. There are so many times we could have died. So many times I could have died. You know, sometimes people have had experiences where they were getting ready to try to pass someone on the road, but for some reason their car wouldn't let them. And if they had done so, they would have had a head-on collision. And there's no explanation for it because the car was fine after that. I've heard stories like that. Something very similar in that regard happened to one of my sisters very recently. God does watch over His children. And He uses His angels to do that. Verse 18, Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive, Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And yes, the Lord has gifts for His people. And one of those gifts is that He led captivity captive when Jesus came. He came to set us free. And that is one of the greatest benefits of all for God's people.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Verse 19, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Oh, I love that verse so much. And that's one of those verses where, you know, you read it, but, you know, sometimes it just doesn't quite click. But yesterday, as I was studying God's Word, that verse really clicked with me. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. It doesn't say that He just gives us benefits. He says that He loadeth us with benefits. There are a lot of benefits for God's people. Even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Oh, He is the God of our salvation, and that salvation is the most important benefit of all. Now let's look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And we're going to read about another benefit that God has for us. He has given us the opportunity to repent of our sins and has promised to forgive us if we do so. That is a wonderful benefit. Praise the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 1 tells us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Praise the Lord. We should bless His name every day, worship Him every day with all that is within you, with all that is within me. Give it everything you've got. And never forget His benefits. Never forget His benefits. Some of these benefits are, verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies?" Oh, those are some amazing benefits. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." He even gives us food to eat. Praise God. That's another benefit. Verse 6, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Oh, that's another benefit. His long suffering is a benefit for all of us. That He gives us all an opportunity to repent. He gives us time. He gives us so many chances. Because He is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. When you look at this world, you have to wonder how. How is it that He can hold back His wrath so much? And I believe that this world is experiencing some of His wrath today. I mean, you look at these tornadoes. You look at this flooding in this country. Historic flooding. All of these disasters all over the world. Drought in some places, too much water in the other. But there are very few places on this earth where everything is just perfect. But I believe this world is experiencing in small measure some of His judgment. And that will intensify as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus. But He has given us so much time. He has given us so many opportunities to repent. And we still have that opportunity today. If you're living, breathing, if there's blood pumping through your veins, you have an opportunity to repent. Praise God. And I trust that everyone here has done that already. But if anyone hasn't, don't delay. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing to be made free from our sins, to have the Lord take those sins away. You know, sometimes people will go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist. They'll sit down on that little couch and they'll say, "Well, why don't you unburden yourself?" Well, I tell you what, there is one who can take our burdens away. There's one who can take our sins away. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you unburden yourself. Praise God. And maybe sometimes it does help to talk about things, but it helps even more to talk about those things with your Heavenly Father. Praise God. Verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever." He does get angry sometimes, but thankfully He's not angry forever. And when we get to heaven, He won't be angry anymore. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." And that's so true. He's forgiven us of our transgressions. He hasn't given us what we deserve. And that's a wonderful thing. So many people out there, they believe in karma. They say, "Well, what goes around comes around, you know, and that, you know, your evil deeds will be repaid. And sooner or later, it'll come back on you." And ordinarily, that actually would be true. But when God takes those sins away, it's not true. Karma, as they call it, does not hold true in the kingdom of God if you've repented of your sins. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Notice who His mercy is toward. Those who fear and respect and love and honor God. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And they couldn't be any further apart than that. As far as the east is from the west. Now that is an amazing benefit. Verse 13, Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And it is a wonderful thing that God has taken pity on us. Because if He hadn't done that, we would have no hope. Where would we be without His love toward us? How would we survive without that? But He took pity on us. And He took pity on us as a father takes pity on his children. And why did He do that? Because He loves us so much. But notice that pity is not for everyone. That pity is for those that fear Him. Praise the Lord. Verse 14, For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Really, that's all we are. Oh, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God did something amazing with that dust. But when it comes down to it, we are the dust of the earth. And as such, we're weak and we're vulnerable. And sometimes we forget that when everything is going well and we feel super healthy. But when you start having a few health problems, then you start to realize just how weak we are as human beings. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. That means it is unending. It is eternal. When you get to heaven, the mercy of the Lord does not expire. Now, how's that for a benefit? Praise God. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It says that we should bless the Lord in all His works, in all places of His dominion. And since He has the dominion everywhere, that means wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whether things might be going poorly or things might be going well, we bless the Lord. Praise God. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we are going to learn about another very important benefit that God has for His children. Luke chapter 11, and beginning with verse 1, it tells us, And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. And that's a good thing to ask the Lord, because we all need to know how to pray. Prayer is so important. And as things become even more twisted up in this world, we need to pray more and more. Verse 2, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Again, acknowledging God as our Father, it's so important. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's important that we recognize that his name is sacred. It's not something that should be taken lightly. It's not something that should ever be used in jest or in anger, because that name is hallowed, and we should bring honor to that name each and every day. Thy kingdom come. Oh, that's something good to pray for too. That his kingdom would come. Thy will be done. Oh, we should always pray that his will would be done, because we want our will to be in tune with his will. His will be done, no matter what. But it goes a whole lot better for all of us if our will is in tune with his will. You don't want to be fighting against God. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. We ask him to feed us, and he graciously does so. And we ask for forgiveness of our sins. And we know from that psalm that we just read that one of his wonderful benefits to us is that if we ask him, if we repent of our sins and we ask him to take those sins away, he will do it. He promised that he would. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Praise God. And we can overcome evil. And what do the scriptures tell us? Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Praise God. The Apostle Paul wrote that. Verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Well, now that would be a little inconvenient if someone showed up at midnight and you had to feed that person, but that's what was happening here in this story. So this person had a visitor, midnight, nothing to feed him. And back then it was always customary to feed your visitors, to offer them some food. So he went and asked his neighbor, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. It was very inconvenient. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In other words, if this person kept asking, then eventually his friend would relent and give him this bread that he asked for. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. You see, there's another benefit. He's given us the opportunity to ask and to seek and to knock. Praise the Lord. And sometimes after you ask for something, it requires a little seeking thereafter. We don't always get our prayers answered immediately, and he doesn't always give us everything that we want. But he does give us what we need, which we may sometimes, as human beings, have a difference of opinion on. But it tells us, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. What will be opened unto us? Oh, the door. And who is the door? Jesus is the door. He is the door to salvation. Praise God. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. But some people, they'll just ask, a little half-heartedly, oh, I didn't get it. They forget to seek. They forget to knock. Sometimes you have to put a little effort into it. Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? No father would ever do that to his child unless that father was absolutely rotten to the core. Verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now there is another important benefit that we need. And how do you get that benefit? You ask, you seek, you knock. That's how you get that benefit. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, living inside of you, guiding you, comforting you, teaching you, and taking control of your mouth. Praise the Lord. Oh, that is a wonderful benefit. Now let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 1 tells us, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And this is really wonderful, the way James opens this, his salutation, because he calls himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was actually the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus was here in human form, he was the half-brother of God's flesh, or of the flesh of Jesus Christ, I guess you could say. And here we see he's acknowledging himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus, and there's great humility in that. And verse 2 tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's another benefit. You know, our faith is going to be tried. I can guarantee you that. It was tried for Christians back here, and we are tried today as God's people. You will face trials, but if you overcome those trials one at a time, your faith will grow. It will become stronger, and you will go from faith to faith. And another benefit that you're going to gain from all of those experiences is patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And perfect there means complete. And of course, we know that we are complete in Jesus Christ. He completes us. Praise God. You've got people all over the world looking for someone who will complete them. But God is the one who completes us. Jesus completes us. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In other words, he gives us a lot of it. He gives it plentifully. And that is another benefit, isn't it? Wisdom. Praise God. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You ever wonder sometimes why certain people might say, well, I prayed and I didn't get it, and they wonder, well, why? Why isn't the Lord answering my prayers? Well, is faith working in that person's heart? Faith must be working in that person's heart, and when we put our faith and our trust in God, He does answer our prayers. Now, sometimes he might give us an answer that we don't necessarily like. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. And people don't like waiting, but, like I said, one of the benefits that he gives us is patience. Praise the Lord. But verse 8 tells us, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Isn't it interesting how in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter what your social status may be, and it doesn't matter how much wealth you may have. In the eyes of God, we're all equal. And no one is any better than anyone else because they happen to have more money. And there is a leveling off of God's people in the congregation of his churches. If you're rich, you're no better. If you're poor, you're no worse. And everybody is really on the same footing. And what really matters more than anything we could accrue in this life is our spiritual benefits. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So awful shall the rich man fade away in his ways. No matter how many riches a person might have, one day those riches will fade away. And when we stand before God, we can't just stand there and say, well, Lord, let me into heaven because I was really wealthy on earth and, you know, I gave a lot of money to charity and all that. That's not going to get you in the door. That's not going to save you. All of those riches fade. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Oh, that is a benefit, isn't it? The crown of life. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see that progression. Temptation, iniquity, sin. Verse 16 tells us, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our God is not unstable. Our God is completely reliable, and he has gifts. He is the Father of lights. And why does it say Father of lights? Because Jesus looked at his disciples one day and he told them, ye are the light of the world. That means we reflect his light, and therefore, if he is our Father, he is the Father of lights. And he has so many gifts for us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, it's Father's Day today. And a lot of times children will get their father as a gift on Father's Day. But I just want you to remember something. Our Heavenly Father has gifts for you. And you can have those gifts today. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We lay aside every filthy thing. We lay aside all excess of naughtiness. Superfluity, that means excess. And really, there should be no naughtiness. And what does naughtiness really mean? It means something that is not, something that has no value, something that is empty. But we receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. God has so many benefits for you today. But what are you going to do with those benefits? We shouldn't just be hearers only, but doers of the word. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And that's generally true. I suppose there might be a few people in this world that are obsessed with their own appearance, their own vanity. But generally speaking, when someone goes and looks in the mirror, they might comb their hair or something, or whatever the case may be, or be washing their face, and after that they walk away and they're not constantly thinking about what they look like. And if someone is doing that, then that person has a real big problem. But you see, that's how it is when someone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. When you don't put those benefits into use, you forget about them. You forget all about those benefits that God has for us. Don't do that. Make sure you use them. Praise God. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and a lot of people sure are religious today, aren't they? If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There must be a lot of vain religion out there, because there are a lot of people out there who do not bridle their tongue. And really, it's God who bridles our tongue for us when we let him take control of it. Praise God. If you have trouble controlling your tongue, ask the Lord to take control of your tongue. Let him do it. If you let him do it, he will. Praise God. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We see that again, don't we? The fatherless and widows. It's so important that we help those who are most vulnerable. The fatherless and the widows. God cares for those people. But we also need to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Praise God. Now, we have read about a lot of benefits so far. And I'm sure that if we looked at this entire book, we would find many more benefits that God has for his people. Oh, it's the finest benefit package you could ever have. And sometimes people will talk about their job and they'll say, well, I have great bennies, you know. Great bennies. Well, I tell you what, they pale in comparison to the benefits that we have from our God. Now let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 8 for a few verses. Because there is another wonderful benefit that we have. Romans chapter 8. And I am going to be starting with verse 14, which tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And yes, that applies to women too. If you're a woman, you can be a daughter of God. The Bible is written in the masculine gender, but this does include you too. Praise God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba, Father, that is a term of endearment. That's like saying Daddy. And this is so amazing that God has delivered us from the spirit of bondage and instead given us the spirit of adoption, meaning that He has adopted us as His own children. And that's why we can have all those benefits we've been reading about, because He has adopted us. And we can cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. If you belong to the Lord, if you've been adopted, you're His heir. And as an heir of the Lord, as a child of God, you have benefits. You have an inheritance, and that inheritance is the promise and the gift of eternal life. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh yes, when we get to heaven, His glory will be revealed in us. And everything that we've endured in this life will seem so unimportant, so insignificant, so small. In fact, we won't even remember it. The sufferings of this present time, that will all be gone. And perhaps that is the greatest benefit of them all. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We have an earnest expectation. And that is that God is going to save us. That God is going to give us that eternal home in heaven. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Delivered out of bondage and into liberty, everlasting liberty, where we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are waiting for that adoption process to be completed. Right now we have the earnest of our inheritance, which is the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit given to us. That's the earnest. That's the down payment. But when we get to heaven, the adoption is complete. And we are with Him for all eternity. And in so doing, we have the redemption of our body. Now that's a benefit. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Right now we have great hope in the Lord. In fact, we know that Jesus Christ is our hope. But one day, we're not going to have hope anymore, because we won't need it anymore. Our hopes will be realized. And when your hopes are realized, you don't need hope anymore. That hope is fulfilled. Praise God. Verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That's another reason we need to have patience, because we are waiting. We are waiting for that adoption to be complete. Praise God. We're waiting for the paperwork to go through. We're waiting for that day when we stand before Him and He opens that book and He says, "You're one of mine. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's look at Galatians chapter 4 in closing. Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Now I say that the heir, and if you belong to the Lord, that is you. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. And in some cases, you know, you can read about kings who are very young and princes who are very young, and before they could fully take the throne, they had to grow up a little bit, because you can't really have a four-year-old reigning over a kingdom. And sometimes we have to grow up a little bit. We all come to the Lord as babes, but we grow up in Him. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But Jesus came to set us free from all that. He came to set us free from the bondage of this world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God went forth, sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh, He redeemed us. Jesus came to redeem us. He redeemed us from the bondage of that law. That law that made people so aware of their sins, but could not take away their sins. Instead, we've entered into a new covenant where He can take away our sins. Verse 6, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." If God has called you, then you are His heir, and that entitles you to so many benefits, including the Spirit of His Son, or in other words, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that comes to live in your heart. And we aren't servants to sin anymore, but we have been set free, and now we are children of God. So happy Father's Day. Praise the Lord. We all have a Father that we can love and appreciate. Even if we may not necessarily have a Father in this world, we have our Father in heaven. And He has not just benefits for us, but loads of benefits for us every day. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee, O God, for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the inspiration that we find in Thy Scripture. We thank Thee for all Thy benefits that Thou hast given us. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast called us, that Thou hast made us heirs, that Thou hast promised us the gift of eternal life. We hope in Thee. We rest in Thee, Lord. We know that Thou art our God, and we long to see Thee. We long for that adoption, O God, to be complete, Lord. We long for the day when we see Thee face to face in heaven, and are with Thee for all eternity. We pray, Lord, that Thou would be with us each and every day here on this earth. Help us to walk with Thee, to be obedient to Thee, to do Thy will. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would give us the strength and the ability to overcome all the sins and filthiness of this world, Lord. Give us Thy precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and help us to walk with Thee each and every day. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our chorus books in closing and turn to number 131. We're going to sing What a Day That Will Be. Number 131. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when he turns his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Praise the Lord. And you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.